If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
But again, what's sustainable to you as an artist, right? If you're working a 9-to-5, that might be hard to be like writing a song for all these people all the time.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music. You can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it. All right. I'm excited to be here today with my new friend, Jasmine Valencia. So Jasmine has propelled global music icons like The Killers and Shawn Mendes with her artist-first culture-driven marketing. She's the founder of JV Agency. She blends together tech and culture and bridges the global gaps so that she can help connect creators and fans to build relationships with each other. And I'm excited to have her on the podcast today to talk a little bit about entrepreneurship, marketing for musicians, and in today's day and age where we're more connected than ever, but also often feel disconnected, how can you as an artist be able to actually reach your fans who resonate with your songs and build a real business? So Jasmine, thank you for taking time to be here on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. So to kick things off, maybe for anyone that this is their first time connecting with you, you could share a little bit about how you started and got here, where you're, you know, being able to work with artists like The Killers and Shawn Mendes.
Yeah, definitely. I started in the music industry actually as an intern. I had a year left of school, you know, figured, okay, internship is a good way to get my foot in the door. I applied for an internship at Universal Music Group. Then I started at Def Jam. And as soon as I finished school, they hired me, you know, moved to New York and started working in the digital marketing department. So that was kind of like how I got started in the industry. And it was a great learning experience. Got to work with amazing artists. And then in 2015, that's kind of when I left and I started my company, JV Agency. So we're actually celebrating our 10 year this year at JV
wow.
Agency.
Yeah. Congratulations.
That's
a big milestone.
Yeah, wow. Thank you. It's exciting. Yeah, that's how we got started. And yeah, it's been great. I've been fortunate to work with amazing artists throughout the years, all big A-listers to up and coming artists. You know, it's great seeing them from like having an idea on their notebook or phone and seeing that idea come to life and then recording it and marketing it and then seeing, you know, fans sing it back to them when they play it live. So it's a really cool experience to be able to do this.
Awesome. So yeah, I'm curious, you know, as someone who has a lot of experience, you know, working with artists, both like established A-listers and like new up and coming artists, what do you see as some of the biggest problems that artists are currently facing in the music industry and maybe some of the biggest mistakes that you see them making when they first come to you?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge that any artist, no matter their size, whether, you know, they're just starting out or established, is the need to continue to always kind of like feed the beast, if you will, with social media. You know, every artist says, I didn't sign up to be a content creator. I just want to be an artist. I want to perform. I want to write music. I want to sing. They don't necessarily want to take the time to make the content. And that's just like the way the industry as a whole is, right? Even outside of music, right? You see it with film and you see it with beauty and, you know, pretty much every other industry. You know, there's that need for social content to stay relevant and kind of like fight the noise. So I think that's the biggest challenge. And I would say, you know, mistakes is not being ready with your socials. Like if you do happen to go viral, not knowing what to do when that moment comes. But also just like not being ready in general. Like a lot of artists will reach out and then you go to their Instagram or website and there's broken links or they don't have an email. Or what if somebody was looking to contact them to give them a gig or something? You know, there's no way to. So that's probably the biggest mistake I see.
Awesome. Yeah. So it sounds like biggest challenge. Whoa. Is that a
alert! Yeah. Alert! Oh,
it's actually earthquake detected. So.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So LA. Yeah. But.
Yeah.
It feels fine. It feels fine. So. Yeah. Yeah. It feels fine.
Imagining like you continuing the podcast is like the ceiling's falling down around you. Yeah, this is how you break through.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah,
all good. If you need to take a moment or if we need to reschedule, totally okay. Yeah. But what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, one of the biggest challenges is knowing how to stay relevant, how to share content without it feeling like a drain, without it feeling overwhelming. As well as knowing what to do with it. If you have content, it happens to go viral, but there's no way for people to actually connect with you or you know, contact you, then you're kind of missing out. It's almost like it starts to rain or pour and like you didn't have anything to capture the rain. It's just kind of falling through your hands into the ground. So I mean, let's start with that first challenge that you come across a lot, which is just like content creation and knowing how to create, what to create, and how to do it in a way that's like sustainable. I'm curious what you find that's working best right now. And for an artist who's kind of, you know, maybe listening to this or feels a bit overwhelmed, like, I don't even know what to post. And then when I post, like, I don't know if it's working or not. How do you recommend that they actually do this effectively?
Yeah, I think that's when they're like, I don't know what to post. That's, I think, the biggest question most artists have. You know, I always tell them, don't like follow the trends because that's like not authentic to you. You know, just, if you're not sure what to post, I say just document what you're already doing. You know, like you're already going to the studio, you're already writing a song, you're already rehearsing for a gig, you're already doing all these things that showcase who you are as a musician, as an artist. So just document and that's what you're going to post. That's when you're like completely unsure, like you don't want to like go and see, like, I don't want to do a dance, I don't want to, you know, whatever's trending. That's the best way because then it's effortless. You're already doing these things. You're already showcasing the, you know, to your audience what it's like to be you as an artist. And also in your everyday life, right? You might be like, you have a dog and you go on hikes with your dog or whatever you do. Like that's not as a musician. So that's the easiest way where it's as effortless as possible. You obviously still have to edit it and post it and do all of that, but you're at least not having to take time to like, oh, let me sit down and write a script or write a shot list or write all these things. So I would say like at the very minimum, you should just be documenting what you're already doing. That's like your very like basic line, very minimum. If you enjoy a little bit more content creation, then that's when you can get a little creative and be like, hey, I really like this trend. Maybe let me apply it to myself and to my music or to a song that I have. And that's when you can start getting a little bit more, you know, in depth into what your content creation strategy looks like, where you're like actually writing down ideas and writing out a script or, you know, like a shot list, or I want to shoot in this location or this location. I would say that that's kind of like the two spectrums of content creation. And then if you're like, I don't know how many times a week to post or a day, like that's the other question that we get the most. I always say like, do what's sustainable to you, just like based on your schedule and your daily life. Cause if you have a 9-to-5 job to be able to pay for your music, you're not going to be able to post 3 times a day. That's just like unreasonable. if you don't have a 9-to-5 job, like you get to stop the whole day being in the studio, then that might be a little bit easier. But like, hey, I'm going to make an alarm on my phone. I'm going to post at noon every day, right? So whatever's sustainable to you, I kind of compare it to like going to the gym. You know, like a trainer can be like, hey, you have to work out every day. But if you're, you know, your everyday schedule doesn't allow for you to like stop, go to the gym, you know, work out, then have to come home, take a shower and get ready for your day, you're not going to do it. So it's kind of the same idea where it's like, what's sustainable to you as an artist?
Mm, awesome. Yeah. So it sounds like what you're saying is that, you know, the best way to start is by taking like an assessment of who are you right now? What are you doing right now? And rather than trying to be someone else, actually just documenting who you already are and what you're already doing, especially as it relates to like your creativity, when you're making music, when you're recording, just capturing it. And then, yeah, starting with where you're at too, in terms of your posting, your schedule, and what's actually reasonable based on the time that is available to you. It reminds me of, I'm sure if there's like a specific quote around this, but I love this concept of like, rather than trying to, be someone else or like do something like crazy, just like changing your life so that the stuff you want to have happen, just like you're doing cool stuff already. It's like, just like live it, just like be it and do it. So that's cool. And then it's like, when you're documenting it, it's like, you know, it's something more entertaining. So, you know, in terms of, documenting themselves and kind of, getting that first part, rolling, I'm curious, what do you recommend for someone that maybe they do have like a 9-to-5 job and they really feel like I don't even know where to start. I don't know what to post. I don't know what the videos should look like. You recommend they like start by making a list of references, or like how do they actually kind of create a plan and create like a calendar or schedule that they can follow that works for them?
Yeah, I would say definitely look for artists or accounts that you like, that you're like, oh, this is cool. This resonates with me. This resonates with my aesthetic or my vision or what I'm trying to like let my fans know about me. And, you know, just kind of make a list and you can see what they're doing that you like, but also look for accounts that you don't like. You're like, oh, that's definitely not for me. And, you know, and have kind of like, these are top 5 things of these artists or these other accounts that I really enjoy. And these are 5 that I don't. And in that way, you can kind of be like, okay, I know I shouldn't shoot from, you know, this angle, or I would always do things in the studio versus outside, you know, whatever those things that resonate with you are. That's a good way to start. And then the calendar, you know, it's great to have a calendar and we do it with our artists, but it's not realistic for most artists, especially if you have like a 9-to-5 or so, something like that. So if you can do a calendar, that's great. You know, like start easy, start with like a Google spreadsheet or like notes on your phone, something easy like that. But if you can, you know, just like schedule it in the app directly, right? Like on Instagram, all those apps you can schedule ahead of time. So kind of start doing that and like, hey, go up at noon or whatever time. That's probably the easiest way to start. That way you don't have to like do it twice, right? To put it on a spreadsheet, write it out there and then like, oh, let me get it onto the platform. So doing it directly on the platform is probably the easiest, like, you know, entry barrier for getting just used to doing the action. And then putting an alarm on your phone, like, hey, did this go up? And then, you know, it went fine. There was no glitches and all that stuff. That's probably the easiest way to just kind of get you in the habit of posting and, you know, start slow. If you're not sure where to start, like start slow, start, I'm just going to post one time this week. That's it. One time. All right. You got that one time. All right. And then slowly start to increasing it to 2 and maybe 3. And if you can sustain, maybe even more. But you got to start somewhere. And that's, I think, where a lot of artists get hung up, where like, I don't know what to do. But like I mentioned, if you're already showcasing what you're already doing, documenting what you already do as an artist, then it's like you have content already there that you can work with and you don't have to like brainstorm like, oh, what did I shoot this week?
Mm, awesome. So what you're saying is that it's best when you're just getting started not to overwhelm yourself and try to like go too far off the deep end with creating a massive content calendar, but really just start by like, you know, one post at a time and try to lean towards using the actual platform that is like native to post it and scheduling it there. Since that's just one extra step that you can remove versus if you like put it somewhere else and then you have to still go to the app and then like schedule it. Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about let's say that someone's lucky enough to, like, they post something, one of their songs or a clip, and it does go viral and they start, you know, seeing a lot of traction. And I mean, this reminds me of one of our clients, Apollo Fresh, who had one of his songs go viral on TikTok. And he basically went from scratch to getting about 97 million streams on one of his songs, JoJo Pose. And this was early on, before he really had his kind of rain catcher set up to maximize that virality. So I'm curious what you would suggest for an artist who's here who wants to make sure they are prepared so that if they do happen to have a post that really takes off, they can make the most out of it.
Definitely doing just an audit of all your online presence. I think that's number one. Every artist should do that. You know, again, put a reminder on your phone, do it once a month, right? Because links break and you might not even know. Or you had a show and you were so busy with the show that you forgot to take the link down after the show happened. And then people think like, oh, you're playing the Troubadour. Oh, wait, that already happened, right? So doing just a monthly audit, more if you can do it, just to make sure like all your ducks are in a row. There's a place where people can contact you. There's a place where people can easily buy your merch, find you on Spotify or any other DSP. All those things. A lot of times people put like, you know, they do like a link in bio type system and then a link gets broken, or, you know, it's got Spotify, but not Apple Music. And, you know, but you went viral on TikTok and TikTok is linked to the person's Apple Music and they can't find your song, things like that. Right. So making sure you're doing that at least once a month, just do like a quick audit, make sure everything's working. Make sure you definitely have a website. I think people miss that now because they're like, oh, I have a link in bio. Like, that's good enough. You still want your website. You still want a place where you can drive traffic to, where you can always like have that to rely on, because, you know, you can rely on a third party, like, you know, all these link companies that like, oh, put everything here and forget about a website. You still want something that's yours that you can control. So I think that's number one. I think if you do start to see some traction in a video or a song or anything that you've posted, then it's like, look at the analytics. Where are these people coming from? What's bringing them there? What's their demographic? What location are they from? Like, look at all those, like, that information that you have available. And how do you maximize it? Is all of a sudden you're getting a spike in Chicago? Hey, maybe you should figure out how to play a show there, right? So you can, like, you know, do it within a timely manner so you're not missing out on that. And, you know, definitely connect with them. Like, don't just be like, oh, you watched my video, that's it. Like, figure out how to connect with them. Like, if they're leaving you comments, respond to all the comments, right? Because you want to start building that relationship so they not only follow you on the platform that you're becoming viral on, but they go to other platforms. They go to your YouTube, they subscribe to your YouTube, they go to your Spotify, et cetera. So I think those are like the two main things somebody can do once they start to see some traction.
Awesome. So to start with, you make sure that your link in bio is properly set up on all your platforms. Make sure that you're auditing it regularly to make sure that they work. And ideally, having a platform that you own as sort of a source of truth, as opposed to a link in bio platform where you can do some cool things, but you don't actually own that audience. So you want to have something you have control over. And then actually having a way to connect with those people. So not just, you know, they like sign up for something, but you're actually sending them a message. You're having a conversation back and forth. Cool. So I'm curious, specifically as it relates to that step after someone, maybe they click on the link in your bio and they go to your website. I'm curious if you have any recommendations for, I know a big challenge for a lot of indie artists, especially, is monetization. And sure, how do I make this sustainable when I'm not really getting paid a whole lot for my streams? What do you see that's working well right now for artists to convert social media traffic into like sustainable revenue?
I think that comes in a couple of different ways. One of them is giving your audience something special that they're not finding on social. So, a little, you know, whether it's, you know, doing, you know, you pay a subscription model and you get to have a you know, once a month call with me, Zoom or whatnot, or I'm going to write a song for you, like for that special occasion, doing things that are unique to somebody that they can pay a little bit more than just, you know, the streaming of a song. But again, what's sustainable to you as an artist, right? If you're working a 9-to-5, that might be hard to be like writing a song for all these people all the time. But something like scalable, obviously outside of merch and all of that, it's like doing, hey guys, I'm going to like zoom you into my studio sessions so you can watch me, you know, see how I work, you know, that you can have, you know, 200 people watching that if they're paying $5 each, right? That's a little extra money. Things like that, where it's easy that, again, things that you're already doing, and it's easy to have somebody come in and watch. Obviously, you don't want to do that for every song, but every now and then it feels special and it feels like, oh, that's really cool that, you know, Rihanna's not letting people do that, right? So like, you got to see, okay, that's an artist that I really like and I can connect. I can see his process outside of what he's posting in social media. This is more like feels like one-on-one, even though it's not, because there could be other people watching it, things like that. And then just making sure that because you do have that connection, that when you do have shows, you're maximizing that, right? Like whether it's like a VIP meet and greet or, you know, like an exclusive merch item, or you're signing things, you know, just to like continue that connection and hopefully, you know, get more revenue. You know, outside of all the platforms that you can monetize, YouTube, et cetera, it's like, you want to give them something where they feel like they're special for being there. And that works really well, because it's unique to the fan directly from the artist.
Mm, super helpful. Yeah, so it sounds like what you're saying is that a great way to start is kind of similar to how you recommend starting with socials too, is just reflecting on what are you doing already as part of your creative process, and how can you invite fans to be a part of that process, and how can you give them access to you as you're being creative, whether that means, you know, having a live stream that happens as you're recording one of your songs, or even giving the people the ability to connect with you directly through a Zoom call once a month, or doing a custom song that's written specifically for them. You know, these are ways to share your creative process with, you know, people in a deeper way. And it's a good place to start in terms of monetizing your existing community. Cool. Jazz, you're definitely speaking my language. You might not know this because we just launched this like a week ago, but we have a software as a service that we just launched called Street Team. And basically it's for that exact purpose in mind. It's sort of like if Patreon and Discord and Facebook groups had a baby, but instead of Mark Zuckerberg owning, you know, your baby, the artist owns their fan data. So they can send email campaigns, automated workflows, and basically have a CRM system to connect with their fans and monetize it. So 100% in line with the platform, and also the platform's free to use with a 10% commission on the revenue that's generated on the platform. So it's the first time I can actually say that, and it's like, it's available, and like people who are watching this or listening to this, like they can actually like go get it, which is kind of exciting. Cool. So, you know, Jazz, with modern musician, one thing that we like to come back to is, you know, the word modern and sort of like where things right now and like what's cutting edge and what's the upcoming wave that if we swim along with, we can catch and kind of get that momentum for the next, you know, the next wave. So I'm curious with your perspective, having worked with a lot of different artists and kind of seeing the waves come and go, each of those waves kind of like a trend and they come and go, but the actual process of catching the waves kind of stays the same. What do you see as some of the biggest waves that are approaching right now? If someone happens to be like watching and swimming along with it, they might be able to catch that momentum and get a head start.
I think the main thing right now is with the uncertainty, of course, of like TikTok, right? It's like, what do we do? If you've been an artist that you've gotten success on TikTok, right? It's like you have this massive audience there. It's like, you know, when it went away for like a day, right? People didn't know what to do. They were freaking out and it was kind of like panic mode, right? So I think the wave and what I mentioned earlier is like being able to control what you're doing online. Obviously, we have these tools, Instagram, TikTok, et cetera, YouTube, but you can't control them. You like your faith is like up to their hands. So trying to pivot into something that you can control, right? Whether it's like emails, text messages, things like that, your website, that no matter what happens to these platforms, you're still going to be okay. So I think that's kind of like the main focus now. It's, they're great tools and they're great if you know, you go viral in them. It's such a huge thing that like we didn't have before, right? To be able to put up a video and then it goes viral and all of a sudden like millions of people know who you are. So I'm not saying stop using them, but just use them as tools to help you build something that you can control and is in your hands, rather than just relying on an algorithm or in a company that, you know, if something goes wrong and you contact them, you can't get a hold of somebody, right? I get that from a lot of artists, like, hey, something happened to my page, or I got hacked, or, you know, and I can't get a hold of anybody. And you spend all this time and money building out this platform, and then when you have an issue, you can't get a hold of anybody. So having something that you can control, I think that's kind of like the next wave of like what should be the focus. And also it'll, I think if everybody's kind of doing it, it gives a message to the industry as a whole. Hey, we appreciate the tools, Instagram, TikTok, all these platforms. We get it. They're important. But also we want something that we can control. Imagine if everybody at the same time kind of focused on that. And it's like, we're going to still use your tools. Don't worry. But we want to make sure we're building our own community so we have control of it versus you guys have control of it. Imagine if everybody did it at the same time, what would happen, right?
100%. Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of like MySpace. Right. You know, like MySpace was so powerful as a platform, but basically the platform died and people who had millions of, you know, followers and fans basically lost access to connect with those people. So I mean, that's, yeah, I don't want to, make this like too overly self-promotional, but like the Straight Team, you know, that's part of the core reason that we built it, is because we feel the same way that, it's important for artists to have a direct link to their fans. And so even if, I don't know, Straight Team dies or people don't like my, yeah, Cam, and they want to like go do their own thing, you know, they own that fan data in a way that they don't own it, you know, on these other platforms. But having an email list, a text message list, knowing who your people are, so you can actually just see them and you can send them a message. I think it's extremely, extremely important. So I 100% agree with what you're saying. Okay. Curious as well in terms of like the future of music. I'd probably be remiss if I didn't bring up like AI as it relates to being a musician and using these tools to potentially you know, supplement our own creativity. Curious to hear your takes on AI, in particular, like generative AI as a creative tool. I think there's a lot of like controversy right now due to the nature of these tools to be able to, you know, replace certain functions that we used to rely on musicians for directly. Curious to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely, a lot of people are concerned about it. I see it as, again, another tool. If you use it to your advantage, if you figure out how to make it work for you, you know, I think it saves a lot of time. I think it's that time that you're saving, you can use it to be creative, something that AI not can necessarily do the same way you can. So that's first and foremost. You said, as a tool to help you doing whatever you're doing, right? And then the whole like, oh, you know, duplicating artists' voices and likeness and all of that. It's not going to stop. It's not going to go away. So then you know, people are going to continue to build this AI tools to make them better and better every day. They've been doing that for the past, I don't know how many years, right? So it just keeps getting better each day. So instead of fighting and figuring out how do I make this work for me, you know, a lot of, even if you look at actors, right? There's a couple actors that, you know, A-list actors that have gotten sick, but they've used AI to help them continue their work and their legacy and continue to build on what they've been able to do themselves. And now it's like, hey, I can't be on set because I'm sick, but you can do this, right? So using it that way, like thinking about it that way, is just like a tool to help you. Yes, it might possibly along the way, like people might lose jobs over it and things like that. But that comes with every single technology that has been invented since humans have invented things, right? So like before you used to ride around, you know, get around in horses, then the train took over, right? And then the cars took over. So, right. And then people lost their jobs along the way and so forth. That's with every technology. So you just have to figure out how to make it work for you and what you're trying to accomplish. And every musician is different, right? Some musicians just want to write songs. AI might be able to write a song, but it might not be able to write a song the way you can. Or you can use it to help you write a better song. So I think it's just a matter of like, what is it that you're trying to accomplish as a musician, as an artist, and how can you use it to help you be better at that and make you more creative? So you're freeing up your time with like mundane tasks and then take that time to be, to use that for creativity.
Mm. Got it. Yeah, I totally agree. So what you're saying is that, with these tools, if you kind of look at the history of different tools, especially as it relates to music, there's been a lot of like resistance and fear around drum machines and other technology that we thought were going to replace analog to digital, was going to like replace the creative and the artist. And ultimately what's happened is it has shifted some roles and some certain things like we don't need anymore, but it's really been used as a tool to like augment our creativity and be able to take that creative expression and just do it faster or easier in a more unique way. And so these tools, we should approach them in a similar way where we don't shy away from using them because that's the cat's out of the bag. But instead, we should use them to be able to express ourselves and to be able to share our voice in a way that's unique.
Yeah, if you look at like, I think Napster is a good example where like every major label, every big player in the music industry was so hesitant about it, right? And they were like, oh, you know, back way, stay away, right? But they didn't embrace it. It could have been so different had they embraced it and worked with them to make something that works for everybody, where everybody was making money, everybody was doing great. But instead, it obviously shifted the industry completely because they were resisting this new technology. People that invent new things are not going to stop because someone doesn't like something. They're just going to continue. So instead of fighting it, it's like, why don't we work together to figure out what works for all of us versus just one person? And I think that's what happened with Napster, right? They didn't work with them. And Napster was like, well, we're going to keep going. It's working for us. And then, obviously, we know what happened. But if you are more open to collaboration, and I think, a lot of people are just so against it because they don't necessarily want to change, but change can be a good thing.
Mm. So interesting. I mean, I think about this a lot just in terms of the different technologies that's come out in companies and revolutions and how often it is that there's like a David and Goliath situation where like these giant companies have every reason to think that they would like kind of win as this new emerging technology comes out because they have so many resources to like, to use it. But then somehow there's like a new up and coming, lean platform that like is able to like David and Goliath, like, topple a giant, like Kodak, Nice. I'm curious, as it relates to AI versus other technologies. I wonder, I mean, this type of technology, I totally agree with the sentiment of like using these tools as an extension of our creativity. And that to me feels like an obvious, like, yes, like in every tool that kind of has come along has, can be used as a tool to kind of shorten the gap between idea to reality. And I also wonder about AI as it relates to things like AGI and superintelligence. And obviously these are like some maybe further out topics, but I mean, a lot of estimates for these are like AGI in the next couple of years and like superintelligence by 2044. So these are like not far away in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, as it relates to things like AGI, which is almost like a fundamentally different type of tool in the sense that it could theoretically like actually do things as well as like humans. When we have access to that kind of intelligence and like resource, what do you think happens to like artists? Like, I'm curious to hear your perspective on this, but like, I think that there's actually a unique like space or like a value that artists and art in particular can bring to the economy when most of our other economics like break down. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on maybe this is more like philosophical or abstract, but just like the value of art, especially in a post AI world where maybe we have an abundance of goods and services. What are your thoughts on the fundamental purpose and value of art?
I think, this goes outside of art and music, right? Just look at a painting or write any form of art. And like throughout history, you've seen, there's always any type of AI, right? It's a tool. So if throughout history, you've seen art and new technology help, but the value is still how much is somebody willing to pay for that piece of art, right? We saw it with with NFTs, it was kind of the same, similar. How much is somebody willing to pay for the ape, right? Mm-hmm. People were paying millions of dollars. So if somebody's willing to pay for it, it's valuable. So I think that'll be the same case, in 2044 or whenever this happens, right? Where the artists that we know and love, and even, new artists that's just starting out today, by 2044 would have had an audience. If somebody is willing to listen to that artist and pay attention to what the artist is doing, I don't think it has to be one or the other. They can coexist. I think NFTs is a good kind of case study, because all of a sudden you could mass replicate these pieces of art, but people were paying for all of them, right? People were buying them left and right. And then this one artist, he did an exhibit here, and he had like smiley faces, like your typical, two dots smiley face, but he generated, I think it was like over 1,000 different variations of it. And he sold out all of them. Mm-hmm. And it was his smiley face, right? It had like a very small variation of each one. But people bought it, and he's still being an artist, and millions of other people, I'm sure, have done smiley faces to a degree, like different variations, but his still worked because people were willing to pay for his art. And then he turned it into merch, and now there's hoodies with different smiley faces, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's just a good case study to see how technology can affect the future of musicians. But as long as people are willing to listen, and no one person, you can look at like sampling a different song, even though the song is similar, is still different at the end of the day, right? The voice might be different. They might sing a different key. They might have used different drums, or they slowed it down or sped it up, or whatever the case might be. But the songs are still different. If people are relating to the song, I think there's place for both of them to coexist. I don't think it has to be one or the other. And I think that's what people are scared of AI. They think, oh, it's totally going to replace me. I'm going to become obsolete. I don't think that's necessarily the case. If you look at any other industry that has been disrupted, like an Uber or an Airbnb, people that, Ubers are going to destroy taxis. They're still both in existence, and their benefits and their pros and cons to both are using both as a consumer. But it hasn't completely yes, there's less taxis available, but they're not all gone. So I think there's ways to coexist, where you're again taking the benefits. For taxis is a great example, things that we might not think about. If you're a disabled person, you can't really catch a taxi. You can get an Uber on your phone. The difference, right? That technology made it possible. So it's a ways of looking at technology, how you can use it to benefit you, and not just you, but the bigger picture, the world in general. So I think just being so scared of AI is not a good way of looking at it. You kind of have to be open into how can it help not only myself, but more people around me. And I think with art specifically, I think, again, it's just to help us be more creative. It's taking away the mundane things that, we have to do as humans to have a career and be professional, et cetera. And just, I used AI to do something that normally took me 2 hours. I'm going to take this 2 hours and be creative. Or go have some fun. Go take a walk, right? Go do something to fill your soul. So I think those are important key differentiators that you have to look at it as a tool and a way to help you rather than being scared of it.
Mm. Good stuff. It's so interesting. I mean, that point that you made about art being the value sort of in the eye of the beholder, with art, and we sort of decide as a community or culture, what is the value of it? What it reminds me of is how some artists, they'd be, their art gained value after they died.
Right. You know? Right. Like, yeah. Yeah.
And it is pretty wild, just because most things on the market don't, like, that's not how they necessarily work. You know, it's based on supply and demand and based on like need. But art is sort of this territory of like human expression or soul or culture and community, and maybe a bit arbitrary in that we decide what has value and decide what we're willing to pay for it. So I agree. I think that there's a opportunity with this next like era of the world, with an abundance of goods and services, that art is maybe one of the few things that will actually have real value and scarcity to it that people want to own. And therefore, like, because of the limited nature of it, they will have value. This is fun. Well, Jazz, I feel like we've covered kind of the full spectrum of the types of the conversation we can have, everywhere from social media strategy and on the booths, you know, how does an artist create their content and document what they're doing, to talking about the future of super intelligence and AGI. So this has been a lot of fun. Thank you for coming on here to share a little bit about your experience and wisdom. And for anyone who's listening or watching this right now, who is interested in connecting more with you and with your company, could you share a little bit more about the best way for them to get in touch? And specifically, like, who's the ideal artist or candidate that would get the most value from what you offer?
They can find us, jbagency.co is our website, and all our handles are jbagency. We check them, we listen to music, so please send us your music if you're an artist listening. And I would think you benefit, we work with artists that want to succeed. I think that's the easiest way to put it. We want to make sure that you accomplish your goals and get out there, whatever those goals are. So, you know, if you're willing to put in the work, you know, we're willing to help you get to where you want to go. So that's kind of like who we work with.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, like always, we'll put the links in the show notes for easy access. And Jazz, thank you again for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Hey, this is Michael, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning into this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable, and if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.